take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome to Slow Pitch, a podcast that takes sports movies too seriously, or perhaps not seriously enough. We're your hosts.
Williams.
Nice one. If I'm Jackie Mason, I'm saying it like this. Shananananan.
Is this the first time you've ever said a name before?
That's amazing. I'm not even going to try to do a Jackie because that was amazing.
I don't know if I could do it again.
Holy cow. All right. And I am Brad Etherly. Two guys who consider watching sports movies a type of aerobic exercise. Today's episode is a review of the 1988 classic Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack Pew.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so as I said at the end of the last episode, I was not looking forward to this movie because I saw it when I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school or something like that. Yeah. A couple years after it had been out, and I had been introduced to Caddyshack and loved it, of course. And then so I got Caddyshack 2. I watched it with my good friend Brad Huckabee, otherwise known as Brad H.
Yeah,
and I was Brad E. And it was, okay, so there were two movies that came out around this same time period. Up until about this time period, when I was about 14 or 15 years old, I watched movies just to be entertained and to just enjoy them. And when I heard of people not liking movies, I would be like, that's ridiculous. Just watch a movie and have fun. And then this movie, I saw this movie, and then another movie, Ghost Dad, helped me change my perception of good movies and bad movies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I have not been looking forward to reviewing this movie on this podcast.
Yeah, well, so I saw this movie like when I was in junior high school, and probably like a lot of people, like you're spending the night at somebody's house, your parents take you to whatever video store. Yep. And, you know, I was a fan of, I don't know that I had ever seen, you know, I can't believe I'm admitting this. I don't know that I've ever seen Caddyshack front to finish, but I knew the legacy of the name Caddyshack at that point. Bill Murray, good. Chevy Chase, good. Rodney Dangerfield, that's fine. And I'd had a lot of older people tell me how amazing Caddyshack was. And
don't so forget Ted Knight.
Ted Knight, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's right. And oh, I liked him from Too Close for Comfort or whatever that show was. Yeah, so I assumed Caddyshack 2, what could possibly go wrong? And I remember even watching it as an eighth grader or whatever I was on VHS and thinking this is a really boring movie.
It really is. And, you know, when I watched it, I knew of Caddyshack and had seen it, but it had not been like this staple of comedy movies that it became for me later, that I've seen, you know, 30 or 40 times probably. So I didn't know every detail about it that I kind of know now. So when I watched Caddyshack 2, I didn't completely realize the 100% parallels that it holds to the original movie. I recognize that Dan Aykroyd was playing basically another version of Bill Murray's character from the first one, but I didn't understand that Jonathan Silverman was playing the Michael O'Keefe's character, that Robert Stack was playing the Ted Knight character, and that Jackie Mason was kind of playing the Rodney Dangerfield character. And it is just beat for beat, almost the same movie to a degree. And it's just, it's a poor idea. And then they just don't do it. They just don't do it well. So it's just bad on all fronts.
Well, and did you do any reading up on the history of like what led to Caddyshack 2?
Well, I did see that, you know, they were desperate for Harold Ramis to come up with a sequel. So they asked him, and he started, and they were in, you know, talks with Rodney Dangerfield, and he was, I guess they had worked on Back to School together too.
Yeah.
And so they had just done that. And so they were trying to get it done. And then Dangerfield dropped out, and then Ramis said, well, I'm out. Tried to get his name off of the credits, but they threatened to sue him because they were afraid that the news of that would be a detriment to the box office.
Right.
So interesting backstories there.
Well, and I also saw something about Bill Murray sued.
Oh yeah.
The producers because of use of the gopher or whatever.
Yeah. Like I guess he had had a hand in coming up with the gopher idea. And I guess he didn't take too kindly to his buddy, Dan, keeping that role up with trying to catch the gopher.
Wait, but wait a second. Dan Aykroyd's not trying to catch the gopher, is he?
He's not until the very end. Okay. You know, the gopher kind of, you may have fallen asleep at this point. I'm not sure, but
maybe I just zoned it out. Yeah.
At the very end, he's supposed to be focused on killing Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
But the gopher starts eating his Twinkies out of his golf bag, and he becomes more focused on gopher.
That's right. Well, and we can talk about this more, but this podcast centers around breaking down sports movies. And I texted you after I watched this. I said, I think there's about 10 minutes worth of golf in this entire movie. And it's barely, like, I think China Phillips plays most of the golf in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it is probably one of the, I mean, to be honest, Caddyshack doesn't have a ton of golf in it either, but it probably is going to be one of those movies that is on the low side of actual sports being played in the movie. But I felt like it needed its own episode, especially Caddyshack is such a high watermark for sports comedy. And this is such a low watermark.
I know this could be another podcast topic, original to sequel precipitous drop-offs. Like,
oh man,
you know, like what? Cause like, I would say that
this is the Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Cause like Rocky to Rocky II is obviously a drop-off, but it's nowhere near Caddyshack to Caddyshack II.
No. And then they go back up for Rocky III and Rocky IV.
Yeah. So
and anybody who says otherwise can fight me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're also in the age of movies now where there are very few original ideas. And as I was watching this, I was like, okay, they're remaking classic movies all the time. They remade The Karate Kid. They remade Footloose. They remade Point Break. I wish someone would come in and specifically remake Caddyshack 2, not Caddyshack, but Caddyshack 2. And I feel like if it were someone like Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz or someone like that, they could do it and it would be really funny, specifically remaking Caddyshack 2.
So who would you have as the Jackie Mason character? Adam Sandler?
Well, yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Like, this is an Adam Sandler remake is what it is.
Yeah, it's like Happy Gilmore. But
you get Steve Buscemi as the Bill Murray or the Dan Aykroyd character.
Yeah, but yeah, that is a problem because as I was also watching this movie, I was thinking to myself, like, comedians like Jackie Mason don't really exist in 2020. If they do, they're not on anybody, like they're not on the radar. Like they're not, like, go on Netflix right now and try to find a comedy special that is anything like Jackie Mason. Like, it's just, he is a comedian of a bygone era for sure.
Yeah, no, he's that borscht belt comedian that, you know, included, you know, George Burns and Henny Youngman and Rodney Dangerfield for that matter.
Yeah.
And that's just it, you know, it's just not something that, like you said, exists anymore. It's just a different comedic style. That comedic style lasted. It had a good run. I mean, for 40 years you had those, you know, Jewish one-liners guys that just cranked them out, you know.
Yeah,
left and right.
Yeah, it comes from the, you know, take my wife, please.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So let's get into the movie. And this movie, good grief. I don't even want to recap it, but I just want to talk about so much. Because if you've seen Caddyshack, it's the same stupid story. It really is. There's a Jewish guy who's considered a slob who wants to be a part of a country club, and the white wasp snobs don't want him to be a part of it. The only difference now is that, you know, you've got a daughter of the guy, you know, who's kind of in play. And then, you know, instead of Chevy Chase being this kind of rich, aloof character who likes to kind of rub it in the snobs' noses, it's Diane Cannon who's kind of playing that role in a much more subdued way. But, you know, she's kind of like the one who loves to see the rich snobs kind of get it from Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
But what, I guess we'll kind of go in order of the movie of the things that were terrible. But the first thing that really bothered me was in the first movie, I don't know how well you know Caddyshack, but I've watched it a lot. Yeah. And the gopher in Caddyshack had some human-esque qualities, but it didn't go so far as to say root beer.
Yeah. Or GD. I'm pretty sure it drops a GD in the first.
Did it?
If you go back and watch in the first one, like the first thing we see in the movie is the gopher.
Yeah.
And he comes out and for some reason he starts like rubbing his stomach for some reason. I have no idea. Like I had no clue what was going on. He's rubbing his stomach and then he says, you know, GD. And then the movie starts. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. But he, you know, they show him like in his little underground lair and he's drinking a root beer. In his underground lair, there's pretzels.
Right.
Looks like there's some hot dog buns, some sort of speaker, maybe. I saw some car keys.
Yeah.
And apparently, in the first movie, Bill Murray kind of creates a plastic explosive gopher to try to blow him up. And apparently, if you look closely, that's in his lair, too.
Oh, clever.
But he definitely says root beer before guzzling it down. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And then just that was even as a young kid watching it, when I saw that, I was just, it left a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, this is not the same. Yeah. So within 5 minutes, you know, it's going to be horrible.
And was this after the Dave Coulier thing that he did on Full House? Where it was like a, you know what I'm talking about? Like he had a character that was a puppet on Full House. And he would be like, oh, is this made of wood? And it was a woodchuck. The character was a woodchuck. Yeah. And that was every joke. It was like, oh, huh, this wood is delicious. And so like that's kind of the voice that this thing had.
That's so two perfect imitations so far.
Okay. Two for two.
Keeping if you can get Dan Aykroyd's voice down from this. Hey,
so, yeah, something like that, wasn't it? Which
oh
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Your objective is to surveil a target operating in the construction business. What could be better suited for this type of covert recon than a barf wagon?
Yeah. Well, we can get to his character later, but
holy crap!
But yeah, it seemed like it was sort of aping the notes of Dave Coulier or vice versa. I don't really know which
game. It would have been around the same time, but
yeah,
he did. The gopher did have that kind of high pitched squeaky noise, but like I said, he wasn't saying, you know,
root beer.
Twinkie or yeah. root beer, you know, he wasn't actually forming words.
Right.
Which he's not the only animal that has human-like qualities in this movie, which we'll get to later. But Jackie Mason is this rich developer, and he is wanting to build this high-rise apartment complex on Bushwood land, I guess. I didn't understand that because it didn't seem like it was very close to the Bushwood Country Club. But he was building these apartment complexes, and, you know, this movie gives historic preservationists a little bit of a bad name because they wanted to save like this shack I got my master's in historic preservation, so I took a little bit of umbrage at that, but it's not terribly far from the truth of what we do. But they wanted to save this little shack that he was going to bulldoze over, and they happened to be members of Bushwood Country Club.
Well, and I will say this about that shack. I feel like if you had a hammer and a few nails and like three people to pick it up, you could just move it to a different spot and the shack would still be intact.
Well, yeah, except, you know, as a historic preservationist, you really shouldn't do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You got to keep it what's called in situ.
In situ? Like, is that short for situation?
Well, it's actually an archaeological term. I had to take one semester of archaeology. And basically, like, whenever you, if you're an archaeologist or historic preservationist, I mean, in rare circumstances, you can move something, but if you find something in the ground, you can take it to have it analyzed, but you have to replace it so that it stays true to its character and to its nature. And so that's called, it's in situ. That's all I know. Wow. And it's a big deal. It's not like Indiana Jones where they can just take it and run off with it.
Well, I wish Caddyshack would have stayed in situ and stayed close to the spirit of that movie.
But it was good to see Roz from Night Court too. I didn't know that she did much else other than Night Court, but there she was.
Well, at some point we can kind of talk about all the who's who of who's in this movie. Cause I was like, oh, that person, like the weird laugher from Seinfeld's in it. One of the three members of Wilson Phillips is in it, which I just incidentally, the computer screen that I'm looking at right now, there's a picture of my wife with Chyna Phillips.
Hey, Chyna Phillips, man. I was always kind of a Wendy Wilson kind of guy. Not going to lie. No disrespect to Carney, but for me, it was either Chyna or Wendy.
Sure.
But this movie may have swayed me to the Chyna camp.
Yeah. And this is a strange time to be swayed to the Chyna camp. But yes, I agree. I didn't recognize her at first. And then when they flashed her name up on the opening credits as Jonathan Silverman was running to get her a root beer, I was like, man, I would run to get her a root beer too.
Yeah. So Jackie Mason, let me ask you this. Could you understand him all the time?
This is Junior. This is the first. So for the second, the third, the fifth, the sixth.
I had to turn the subtitles on. I was like,
where are the subtitles for this guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He just sort of speaks in an inflection. It's like, you know, like that. That kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, it is. It's an up and down roller coaster for him. I literally, like, when they rolled up to the country club for the first time, him and his daughter, and Chyna Phillips meets him, I literally was like, I can't understand like 25% of what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jonathan Silverman for a second. Did you think that he was going to become a little bit more than what he did become?
Probably.
Like in life, like in his profession.
Yes. Well, okay. There was a moment where he was kind of a hot actor. Like he had a sitcom and I can't remember what the name of it was, but he was in, I think one of the things that really hurt him was
Caddyshack
2, but he's also in two Weekend at Bernie's movies.
Yeah, the second one.
Well,
you don't go back for the second one.
No, and some would argue that the first one, the movie Weekend at Bernie's, has been used as a punchline for a bad movie quite a bit since then. Like it's been a.
I will fight those people.
I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying, like in Seinfeld, they reference Weekend at Bernie's as sort of a lowbrow bad movie.
So I mean, it's no Rochelle.
But. No, it's not. I'm trying to remember the name of Jonathan Silverman's sitcom. Anyway, but yeah, there was a moment where he kind of seemed like he could kind of become a quirky leading man, you know, in romantic comedies and stuff, but he never did.
So I was looking at his IMDb page and
Was it Caroline in the City? Is that what he's?
I don't remember. I don't remember watching it.
The Single Guy was the name of his sitcom. Yeah,
I vaguely remember that. But I was looking at his IMDb page, and there is a movie that is on our list. I'm guessing you've seen, but I'm not for sure. It's called Benchwarmers.
Yeah, yeah.
He is in Benchwarmers 2.
Now is Benchwarmers 2 on our list?
It is now.
Oh, crap.
I didn't know about it before, but it is now.
Oh, man. I mean, if Caddyshack 2 is bad, then Benchwarmers 2. We're talking about precipitous drop-offs. There's not much farther to fall from...
A Benchwarmers was funny. I'm sorry.
It was funny, but it's not Caddyshack. No.
And you can jump in at any time because I am not trying to explain this plot.
You already did.
I did. He wants to be a part of the country club. He tries to buy it at some point. I guess Chevy Chase, his character, you know, who's like this rich millionaire, basically just because his parents are rich, he doesn't do anything. And that's a holdover from the original movie. But, you know, he owns like 53% of the stock, I guess, which I didn't know that country clubs had stocks. I don't know how that works, but
it's shareholders. Yeah.
Yes. So pretty early on, I was surprised at how early on it was, but there's a scene, and this is the scene that stuck with me. It's the one scene that I probably laughed at when I first saw the movie. And it's the scene that I chuckled at this time. And it is where...
Equestrian scene?
Yes, or? Yes. Jackie Mason shows up to ride horses with Robert Stack's character, who, again, is like the head dude at Bushwood Country Club. He's the Ted Knight version of, or the Judge Smalls version for Caddyshack 2. And Robert Stack is dressed funnily enough, but then Jackie Mason shows up looking like a bellhop for the Plaza Hotel or something. And that made me kind of chuckle. And then Jackie Mason is riding on his horse kind of in front of Robert Stack's character. And you start hearing some fart noises.
Rusty!
And Robert Stack, like in real life, if that happened, I would just laugh. Like I would be like, that's hilarious. That horse is just farting. But he very seriously, very deadpan is like, your horse has a bit of a gas problem. And Jackie Mason turns around and says, it's not the horse.
Yeah. Later in that scene. So we'll rewind back to the sleepover that I was at eighth grade shortly after this movie had come out on video. And I remember us watching that as teenage boys. And when the horse jumps over, Robert Stack falls in the mud off his horse. And here comes Jackie Mason on his. The horse leaps over the fence or whatever it is. And the horse farts as it's jumping over, like basically on Robert Stack's head. And I remember we rewound that over and over because, you know, this is what teenage boys do. But when I watched it this time, I had a little bit more empathy for the actors involved. Like Robert Stack, as far as I know, he went to like Juilliard and trained to be a serious actor. Diane Cannon, like she's in that scene, you know, she's probably not where she thought her career would be at that point. Like I'm imagining the director explaining to them like, okay, here's what's going to happen. Robert, you're going to be in the mud. The horse is going to come over top of you, fart on your head and continue going. You're going to need to act really mad. This is going to make you really mad.
Oh man.
He shakes his fist at the horse after it does it.
The international sign of disgust, a shaking fist. Yeah, I didn't even think of that viewpoint, but you're right. I did think about this throughout the movie. Like, you know, we haven't even talked about Diane Cannon, but she's in this and she's looking amazing. I think he told me that she was 51 when this movie came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently she didn't like to wear shirts during this point in time because a lot of bras.
Yeah, well, and that's another interesting thing that I read. Caddyshack is rated R.
Yes.
Caddyshack 2 was rated PG.
Yes.
Which is like a massive difference. Like, that's a huge difference. And so I think the Diane Cannon character, whose name I don't remember, I think she's there to provide the, I guess, muted version of R-rated, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
I say that, like I said, I haven't seen the original Caddyshack all the way through.
Did you also notice? Oh, first of all,
wait, before we move on from the equestrian scene.
No, I'm not done. There are a couple more things, but okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. All right. So, just in case you don't want to sit through this hour and a half long crap fest, they've established that Robert Stack is very used to being on a horse, and Jackie Mason is a first timer, doesn't know what he's doing. So, the first jump is over a brick wall. And Robert Stack's horse clears it. Here comes Jackie Mason's horse. And it goes right through the brick wall. I don't care how strong the horse is. It is going to be injured in some way if it runs directly into a brick wall. This brick wall just disintegrates.
No, he definitely just Kool-Aid mans right through the wall.
Yeah. Is that one of the things you were going to talk about?
No.
No.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
No, my other two things were, did you notice the, there was this like little flag, like sign on the back of the saddle of the horse that Jackie Mason was riding? Did you notice it?
Uh-uh.
All it said, two words, dog food.
Oh yeah. Well, he kept calling the horse dog food. So,
oh, did he? I didn't even notice that. Yeah, I was just waiting for the farts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so he kept calling the horse dog food, and I thought that was him being like, you know, kind of kitschy or whatever, but I guess the horse's actual name was dog food.
I didn't know what that sign was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, he kept being like, whoa, dog food.
Yeah. and the horse was making all kinds of other noises, not just fart noises, but like almost like beastly grunts. Throughout.
It was bloated and clearly had some problems.
And it literally laughed at one point.
The horse laughed?
Yes.
Man, I wish I had noticed that. This would have been a funnier movie.
But yeah, so that was fairly early. So that made me kind of laugh. There was one other scene, and it was directly after this, that kind of made me laugh too. And so I guess after they go horse riding, there's some sort of ball that they go to, and Jackie Mason is wearing like this metallic sheen tuxedo.
Yeah.
And of course, Diane Cannon is like, yes.
There's part of me that thinks maybe she deserves an Academy Award for this, because she has to make us believe that she's anywhere interested in Jackie Mason. They're not too far apart in age, I don't think.
But 9 years.
But as far as leagues, yes, they are quite far apart.
Jackie Mason is an odd looking fella. He is. He's an odd looking fella. But that they decide to dance together. And that little scene of Jackie Mason dancing made me chuckle a little bit, especially when he's like just following her tush around and like these little stutter steps was very funny to me.
Yeah.
That's about where the laughs ended for me.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, and this, you know, this has that kind of Roseanne plotline, Little Miss Sunshine plotline, where it's all about sticking it to the rich people who don't get working class people. And mm-hmm. So the working class people come in and spoil the ball or whatever event, the highfalutin event. We've definitely seen this kind of thing before.
Well, and it was even in the first Caddyshack, you know, they're okay. Having some sort of party, and Rodney Dangerfield comes in and starts insulting everybody. And it was the exact same situation. Jackie Mason immediately started insulting people in this, you know, borscht belt style. And it was just, like I said, beat for beat, except for the horse fart. It was almost the same. They even had a pool scene like they do in Caddyshack. And it was just amazing how they just did not waver at all from the screenplay for the original to the second one.
Right.
Now, so Robert Stack at first is kind of playing nice with Jackie Mason. He doesn't really love him, but he's willing to kind of give him a shot. But I think after the horse farts on his face, he's kind of done with him.
The last straw.
And then he dares to dance with Diane Cannon at the ball as well. And so he starts to incorporate some of the other old member, the men, these men who are members of the country club. And there's a shot of them all coming out of like a hot tub, like a steam room or something like that. And they've kind of got towels on, but they're bare chested. And I want to pose this question to you. You're not an actor, but let's say that you somehow fell into this acting job and it's a high profile film. Like this is not, some direct to video, like, nobody's ever heard of it kind of movie.
Yeah.
Would you're not a big star, but you're just kind of this role player.
Yeah.
Would you go shirtless if they asked you to?
At the age that these guys are or right now?
Current.
Current. Well, yeah. I'm sure that people who are actors would want to do anything they could to get into a major motion picture that's going to have a wide release. But, when I start thinking about my bare chest, my bare, pale, non-muscular chest on a 30-foot screen in a room of people looking at it, and probably Chevy Chase making a joke about it. There would be girls that I went to high school with seeing this movie. It's just, I don't know. The paycheck would have to be substantial.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of my body.
I had to pose that question to you. I wouldn't care. I'm kind of the Jack Black. Just take it off and have fun with it. Prance around in your whitey tidies. Just a little backstory.
Well,
about 15 years ago, or I guess, yeah, gosh, Sean and I would have different little competitions and we played different little games at his house, and we were throwing a football at his house, and my car had the window down and it was in his driveway, but it was like a lower story. We were up on an elevated deck. And so we decided that whoever could throw the football through my window first, the other would have to go to this Walgreens down the road shirtless and buy something. I think I came up with the plan because I knew that you visited that Walgreens on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I was in there a lot.
And I wanted you so badly to lose that little competition.
Hey, listen, when the stakes were that high, I went to a deeper place athletically and I like willed that ball through that window.
It took several tries for us to get it, but Sean was the victor. So I went and got like a six pack of powdered donuts or something like my shirt on.
Like the thought, I know, and that was a sight to behold. But yeah, the thought of running into like somebody I went to college with or something in that Walgreens in that moment, I mean, I basically summoned the spirit of Joe Montana and I like threw that ball through that window.
Do it.
I wouldn't have a problem doing it, but I thought that it would be funny to ask you about that.
Yeah. I guess if I was a professional actor, I would hope that maybe I would be able to do it, but.
Hey Sean, have you heard about this new Patreon.com thing that's going around?
I've heard of such a thing.
So what it is, if you haven't heard about it.
Wait a second. I just said I had heard about it. So that should be the end of this conversation. We shouldn't need to talk about it. Oh, but there might be other people who need to hear about it. Okay.
There might be one or two people out there that haven't heard, but if you are producing something, whether it be music, slam poetry, or a podcast, you can have people out there be patrons of your produced content, and they can help support you. And so we have set up our own Patreon account and website. We do have different tiers. That's kind of standard Patreon.com modus operandi. How do you say that?
Just say M.O. Yeah, don't try. Hey, college boy, why don't you just dial it back? Just say M.O.
So our first tier, would you like to tell them what our first tier is?
Well, yes. If you part ways with a whopping $2 a month, you get a hearty handshake or pat on the back if we're not still shaking hands, if we ever see you at a local grocer. So this is heavily dependent on you living in one of the cities we live in. But still, I don't think anybody can argue that that's worth $2 a month.
$2 a month. I mean, that's half a latte at Starbucks.
Yeah. And let me tell you, like, if I do see you at the local grocery store and you, if for some reason you are doubting the heartiness of my handshake, I will prove you wrong. You will be taken aback. You will be telling your friends about the heartiness. You will be writing poems and essays about how hearty my handshake is.
Which you might put out there for Patreon.com people to support your poems and songs about. But yeah, I can attest that Sean does give hearty handshakes. Twice I have been the recipient of such a handshake, and then a swift punch to the gut as well. So hopefully he won't do that to you, but I'll go ahead and go to the next tier, which is our Rocky III. The first one is our Caddyshack II tier. It's the lowest of the low, but it's still worthy. But Rocky III is our next tier. And it is that if you submit $5 a month, that's one latte from Starbucks, you will not only receive a hearty handshake if we see you out in public, but we will also give you a signed copy of our show notes.
Now, you might be doubting, much like you doubted the heartiness of our handshakes, you may be doubting the worth of our signatures on a piece of paper. Listen, if you want to test this on that, throw it on eBay. You know, see if you don't get upwards of $12, $11 or less.
If you want a signed copy of our notes, you can. You may not be able to read them, but you can own those if you were to support us for $5 a month.
I once met actress Sharon Stone, so I'll just leave that there.
What's our third tier?
It is Major League, which I assume is a step up from Rocky III, or maybe, depending on who you are. It is $8 a month. You get the handshake, you get the signed copy of the show notes, but you also receive a random baseball card, again, signed by us.
You're going to be swimming in signatures.
So let me ask you this. If it's a random baseball card that's worth something, like let's say it's the Dale Murphy reverse negative thing, and we sign it, does the value of that card then plummet immediately? Or
we have ruined it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we'll send you like a Chili Davis baseball card from 1988.
Perfect.
It's the baseball card of our choosing that we will be signing.
Okay.
So if that's not enough for you and you want to support us by giving us even more money, the next tier is the Hoosiers tier. And that is at $15 per month. If you want to support us, you will not only receive the hearty handshake and a signed copy of your favorite Air Bud episode, you will also receive a signed baseball card by both of us. And you will have access to a bonus episode that will probably be some sort of Air Buddies episode. We have Air Buddies movies for days.
Yeah. So I guess that leads us to the premium package on the Patreon site, which is, I'm not going to lie, folks, this is expensive. $25 a month. Hey, listen, it's a lot. It's a pretty penny, but you get the handshake. You get the signed show notes. You get the signed baseball card. You get access to the bonus episode. And we will record an episode of your choice just for you. This is any movie. You know, it can't be X-rated or anything like that. Any genre, as long as it's Bring It On. But I'm reading directly from the Patreon site. I'm sorry. We would like it to be Bring It On.
Over and over again. We will do it as many times as we need to.
Yeah. No, seriously, $25 a month and we will record a podcast just for you. We'll mention you by name. We will ask you how your spouse is doing throughout the episode. It'll get slightly creepy, then it'll get a little less creepy. And then by that point, the episode will be over. So I don't see why you wouldn't.
And that is the natural.
Yeah, the natural. Sorry.
We have Caddyshack 2 at $2 per month. Rocky 3 at $5 per month. Major League at $8 per month. That's still a steal. And then Hoosiers at $15 a month. Now that's, you know, that's burning cash. That's lighting cigars with $100 bills kind of cash. And then you have the Natural, and that's burning $1,000 bills with, you know, lighting your cigar with a $1,000 bill. But that's the Natural tier. So if you are interested in supporting us in any way, $2 a month will seriously help us out. But we will use it for continuing the production of this podcast. So if you feel so inclined to help support us, please visit patreon.com/slowpitch. Thanks again. So Jackie Mason does purchase the golf course, the country club, from Ty, from Chevy Chase. And I guess he decides to turn it into like a regular size putt. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's not a putt place. It's a real golf course, but you have to hit it through windmills and you have to hit it through
clown mouths and
stuff. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. And, but I guess he decides to throw a party at the pool first. And so they have to have the obligatory pool scene.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Randy Quaid's character yet.
Well, yeah, we have not. And
I honestly don't know whose character I hated more, Dan Aykroyd's or Randy Quaid's.
Well, both of them seem like it's like both are trying way too hard to be funny, which you don't normally say that about Dan Aykroyd. Like Dan Aykroyd usually comes into a movie, hits like think about him in Tommy Boy. Mm-hmm. He comes in, hits the perfect note. He's a little bit of that Mainway guy from Saturday Night Live, and maybe a slightly, you know, with like a little conehead nasally-ness to him. But yeah, he's perfect in Tommy Boy. He has just the right, he brings kind of a interesting comedic touch in a otherwise sad movie in My Girl. But this one, he's just kind of like, all right, I'm going to take it up to 11. And then Randy Quaid does the exact same thing. He is like the perfect off the bench guy in the two vacation movies he's in. And then this, he's just manic and weird and over the top and loud. And it's just, it's too much. He's not actually being funny. He's being loud.
Well, and to your point that you made earlier with Robert Stack getting farted on by a horse and just wondering where, you know, where his life went wrong. So when Randy Quaid was playing golf with Robert Stack and they got to the ice hockey rink, that's when I was like, okay, Randy Quaid is, he basically, I feel like he knows that this movie sucks.
Yeah.
He's doing whatever he can to get a laugh, but he's missing it because he's trying way too hard. And it's not necessarily, I mean, to some degree, it's his fault because he's doing it. But at the same time, I think he was, you know, these guys were working and they were doing the best they could and they knew it was going to be rough, but they gave it as much as they could. And I can only imagine if you're an actor, especially a comedic actor who is on a set where you know that this is going bad.
Yeah.
Like what you would do to try to salvage something, you know?
Right.
And I thought maybe that's what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. Cause he is just like, he comes in way too hot. And from the very get go, he's just not funny. And this movie needed him to come in and be funny.
Yeah. And then that leads to Dan Aykroyd's character, which, you know, he plays this ex-military guy who, mm-hmm, I guess is hired by Robert Stack to literally kill Jackie Mason. I mean, at one point they have these golf balls that they hit a watermelon with and it literally explodes. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Like,
yeah. And they try to like Goodfellas his car in some way. And so, yeah, so he wants to build a development on a piece of land that the country club owns. And then he buys the country club. And so Robert Stack's character is like, the next logical step is we should kill this man. We should end his life.
Yes, they do. They blow up what Dan Aykroyd blows up what he thinks is Jackie Mason's car, but it ended up being Robert Stack's. And again, yeah, it wasn't like a little boom. It was complete obliteration, where Jackie Mason would have been blown into little bitty tiny bits for sure. So, oh yeah, one other thing I wanted to say was I didn't know that Chevy Chase had an earring at one point. That was off-putting.
Well, okay, I was going to ask you, is that that's not part of the character? That's just Chevy Chase having an earring, like Harrison Chase. Ford? Yes. Wow.
So who's more off-putting with an earring, Harrison Ford or Chevy Chase?
Well, neither are good, but I would say that Harrison Ford, I want to tell him, like, look, you are Han Solo. You are Indiana Jones. You don't need to try to be cool. Like, the earring at age 58 is not impressing anybody. He's 80 now. Yeah. But you know, you would see him go on Letterman back in the day and you'd be like, why is this guy wearing an earring? Chevy Chase is, I don't know, I guess just maybe in the late 80s, some of these guys who were like, by the time when did this come out? 88?
88.
By the time this came out in 88, Chevy Chase, you see him, he looks a lot different than he did in the original Caddyshack. He was kind of shaggy haired.
Yeah.
You know, he was coming right off Saturday Night Live in 1979, 1980. Mm-hmm. And now he's got a little, this movie's got a little gray in the temples. He's maybe feeling like, well, I'm not as hip as I used to be. I was kind of the it guy in 1976, 77. You know, up through Vacation or whatever. And now I'm slipping a little bit. I'm going to stick an earring in, see if that does anything.
So Chevy Chase also, and I don't know why I'm saying this, because I'm sure anybody listening to this podcast would have known Caddyshack. But, you know, in the original, Chevy Chase kind of is a really good golf player. And he uses kind of like this meditation technique to kind of what he calls be the ball. And in it, with it, he kind of does this na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na thing.
Yeah.
And so he tries to get Jackie Mason. He's trying to give Jackie Mason some points on how to be a better golfer. And he tries to get Jackie Mason. We referenced this in the introduction, but he tries to get him to be the ball. And he tries to get him to do the na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
My question is, could Jackie Mason not do that, or was he trying to be funny by not doing it?
I think he couldn't do it. That's my take. I think it's just, I think he's, yeah, the lips and the top of his mouth just wouldn't do it.
It was kind of funny, and I couldn't tell if he was doing it on purpose or not. So anyway, that was one question I had. Anything else about the movie you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the one part that I did enjoy.
Okay.
That is the soundtrack.
Little Kenny Loggins?
Kenny Loggins is, first off, at some point we'll talk about Kenny Loggins' soundtrack run in the 80s. It starts off with Caddyshack, the original Caddyshack, I'm All Right.
Yep.
You got Footloose, you have Top Gun. Probably some I'm missing out on, but yeah, Nobody's Fool in this. This has I Run Right Back by Patti Smith.
It's got Cheap Trick.
Yeah, Cheap Trick, The Pointer Sisters, Go For Yours by Lisa and the Cult Jam. You know, some of it's cheesy 80s for sure, but yeah, I found the soundtrack kind of fun.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the soundtrack, because this movie, it did win 2 awards. It was nominated for 4, but it won 2, actually. And those were the Razzie Awards for the worst movie of the year.
Yeah.
And 2 of those, it was nominated for the worst movie. And I think it was nominated for the worst character, which was for Jackie Mason, and it lost. It did win the Razzie for the worst supporting actor, which was for Aykroyd. And it also won the Razzie for the worst song. And that was from a group called Full Force. They had a song called Jack Fresh, which I have no idea what that means. And I've listened to it, and it is indeed absolutely horrible. And this is a group of brothers from Brooklyn, I think 5 or 6 guys. They had their highest hit in the U.S. on the pop charts was, in fact, a Lisa Lisa and Colt Jam song called All Cried Out. And in a minute, we're going to pause this and you're going to listen. You're going to watch the video because it is amazing. And anybody listening should also go and type in Full Force, All Cried Out, and just be treated to something spectacular.
I'm typing it.
Yeah. But so I want to tell you who's in the band because just their names are amazing. So
I'm seeing a couple of different videos. Is this one, Full Force with Lisa?
Yeah, it's the Lisa Lisa and Colt Jam, I guess is technically.
And she's on the cover, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have kind of a cameo in the video, and you can tell that it's them because they've got Full Force necklaces around their neck. It literally says Full Force. These are the members to Full Force. Be Fine, Shy Shy, Bow-Legged Lou, Kurt TT, Baby T-T.
That's funny.
Baby G, G-E-E, sure. And Paul Anthony.
Sorry, Paul, you don't get a name.
And so Be Fine, Paul Anthony, and Bow-Legged Lou are brothers.
Yeah.
And Shy Shy, Baby G, and Kurt TT are cousins. So this is a family group. Now, pause and watch this video.
But the traffic was so noisy that you could not hear my cry. I gave you my love in vain. My body never knew such pleasure. My heart never knew such pain. And you leave me so confused. Now I'm all cried out over you.
So, I have questions.
Okay.
Well, first off, this video, it's like if you had to exemplify, or what's the word I'm looking for, personify the 80s into like one thing, it would be this video. You got a smoke machine, you've got a grand piano with a tablecloth over it for some reason. You've got
like a Pizza Hut tablecloth?
Well, it's more like a fancy tablecloth.
Like a doily tablecloth?
Yeah, I mean it's white. It's almost like someone made a wedding dress train into a tablecloth, and it's a sort of over the piano. Not sure why. There's a big chandelier. There's a lot of like Miami Vice type suits, t-shirts with white blazers and linen pants. There's a lot of like gold jewelry. There's a headband.
The headband was great.
Well, so here's another question I have. So why did we need the other, like typically in these kinds of songs, the person singing the female part and the person singing the male part in a duet, for the purposes of the video, they're kind of dating. You know what I'm saying? Like they're sort of singing the song to each other or with each other. And if there's any like acting out, they are, I guess, playing the couple. In this, there's like a random guy who's not singing. He's just like, and I guess he's a guy. He's very pretty, but he has like long flowing hair. And yeah, it's almost like he's a buffer. I feel like Lisa Lisa was like, okay, these guys from Full Force.
I'm not making out with Bow-Legged Lou.
I'm not going to look into Bow-Legged Lou's eyes at all. We're not going to hold hands. So bring me in a male model and I will pretend to date him.
I will say that, you know, they had a run, especially on the US R&B charts. That song got as high as number 3. They also had a number 6, a number 11, a number 8, a number 2. They didn't hit as high on the US pop charts, but they had a number 1 song on the U.S. dance chart with Lisa Lisa. They worked with Lisa Lisa and Colt Jam quite a bit. So they had some success in their own little niche. I didn't remember that song.
So they could afford those Full Force medallions. Those
Full Force chains. Not quite Run DMC type chains, but a little bit more subtle maybe. But anyway, they won the Razzie for worst song with Jack Fresh. I did want to also just read a couple of reviews from the period because they're amazing as well. Peter Travers from People Magazine says, Chevy Chase is a socialite who sells the club to Mason, and Dan Aykroyd as a psycho ex-Marine hired by Stack to dispatch his enemy are pitifully awful. Stephen Ray from the Philadelphia Inquirer says, it is a sight not to behold. That's it. Someone from the Los Angeles Times, Michael Wilmington, on and on they come, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Jackie Mason, Diane Cannon, Randy Quaid, all trying to crack us up and failing miserably. This one, there was one more that I really liked. Karen James from the New York Times. Caddyshack 2 is the kind of film that sends careers spiraling downward. It's got a 4% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty bad.
It's a bad movie. I agree with all of these.
Yeah, so I don't have anything else to say about this movie. Do you have any parting shots?
The movie sucks. Don't worry about it. Just if you're in the mood for a golf movie, watch the first Caddyshack. Yeah, Adam Sandler, Thomas Middleditch, Ben Schwartz. If you're listening, remake Caddyshack 2. I think that would be hilarious.
You couldn't do worse. That's for sure.
No. Are we gonna?
Oh yeah, let's rate it. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I am not ashamed to just take out the best part of this movie and make it our rating system, but I'm going to change it up a little bit because although farts are funny, you know, ultimately they're bad. You don't want to be around a fart. So, you know, I don't want to be around a horse fart, but
but it's, I'm gonna put that on your tombstone one day.
Brad says doesn't want to be around a horse fart.
I'm like, can we add one more sentence, please? In this scenario, I outlive you, but
yeah. So we'll do horse farts, but we're gonna kind of do it a negative. So one horse fart would be it's a really good movie. Five. Horse farts are, it's a terrible movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
I know
sense?
My answer. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yes. All right. Six horse farts is what I give the movie. It's horrible. I was like, couldn't wait for it to be over. It was not funny to me, except for the horse flatulence scenes. And like you said, Jackie Mason dancing. And I mean, I was laughing at how bad the movie was,
you know,
and you know,
it's not even like it's so bad. It's good. Like it's not,
yeah,
it's bad.
Well, there's a scene where like China Phillips falls down a hill and yeah. And it's like, I think we're supposed to be laughing because she trips and falls down a hill and keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. But it is just not like they're kind of like, hey, look how funny this is. And it's just, it is never funny. So
it's yeah, not.
So I stand by my answer.
I mean, the only, I'll give it five yeah. horse farts, only not going up to six like you because China Phillips. She switched me from Team Wendy to Team China.
X is out of horse fart. Yeah. If you want to neutralize a horse fart, bring in China Phillips.
Her tombstone is going to say, I increased one horse fart. Yeah. You know, saying, honestly, she wasn't that bad of an actress. Did you know that she's been married to William Baldwin since 1995?
No, yeah. I did not know that.
Good for them.
I do not know my Wilson Phillips trivia. Yeah.
Congrats on 25 years.
She's held on for several more days. that was a horrible joke. I'm sorry.
No, but she actually wasn't that bad of an actress for not being an actress. I thought she should have done more movies.
Yeah.
Well done, China. Okay, so we are going to now pick our next movie. Again, this has kind of become my favorite part, just kind of the anticipation of what's going to be next. We have 198 movies in the hopper.
Please don't be Benchwarmers too.
I actually have not included it yet. I need to. 1 through 198. And we have landed on 86. Oh, this one is a good one. Are you sure you want to stick? I mean, precedence has been laid for sequels.
Yeah.
We are kind of beholden. You kind of dictated. We'll go with what's a card played is a card laid. What?
Yeah.
Card played is a card played.
Is this have Sylvester Stallone?
It does not.
Does it have Ralph Macchio?
It does.
This Karate Kid 3?
Karate Kid 2.
Oh, Karate Kid 2. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Two sequels in a row. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have introduced Karate Kid to my children. I have not introduced Karate Kid 2. So this will be a perfect opportunity.
This is going to be awesome. Peter Cetera.
Yeah.
Rocking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. Like, what are your feelings on the sequel policy?
Well, I think that before we watched Caddyshack 2, I was leaning towards watching the original. Now, if we landed on Rocky 3 before we watched Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, I would have said, let's watch Rocky. And then keep Rocky 3 in the list. And then, if we hit Rocky 3 again, we go to Rocky 2. You know, kind of follow it in order. So in this instance, you know, if we had hit the next Karate Kid, we would have gone to just the original Karate Kid and just kept the next Karate Kid in there.
Yeah, I'm fine with doing that. But the thing, sort of the excitement of the number generator is you may be given a horrible movie, which will usually be the sequel as opposed. So it's like, it sort of takes a little bit out of the, we're given this bad movie. Now we have to watch it. It's almost like a get out of jail free card if you're given the next Karate Kid and then you get to watch the 1984 Karate Kid.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, but I'm fine with either way.
So what are we doing? You make the call.
Man. I was not prepared.
Because you really want to watch Karate Kid, don't you?
Well, I'm fine with watching Karate Kid 2 because we will eventually get to Karate Kid, I'm assuming. But let's go ahead. Let's watch Karate Kid.
All right, let's do it. Now, from here on out, we're going to keep the same precedent. So if we get to what's another sequel? I can't even really think of it.
We have all the Rockies. There's going to be Slapshot. Slapshot
2. Yeah,
there's the Mighty Ducks. Yeah, there's
So we go to the original first, keep what's in there, and it's up to the luck of the draw again.
Okay, so basically it needs to be in there as a franchise, you know, like it's kind of like, so the what's in the thing is just Rocky, and so it's like, now we're going sequentially through sequels, or Karate Kid.
Again, Karate Kid will be the next one. It's funny because
I don't even need to watch this movie. I'll just, I can do the podcast right now.
It's funny because number 79 was the next Karate Kid. 86 was the Karate Kid 2 and 106. These are all on the same page that I can see as Karate Kid 3. So they were all in one kind of clump. But again, we do have a Twitter account. So if you want to reach out to us, you can get in touch with us at SlowPitchCast. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for toughing it out with us. And if you watched it before, we apologize. But thank you for watching Slow Pitch.
Peace out. Jack Fresh.
Where's the beef? Jack Fresh.
Getting ready for my baby.
Jack Fresh. Jack Fresh.
Getting ready. Fixing something.
I'll try it out.
An intense look from Lisa Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa's filling out that dress.
I remember the song. She wipes away the tear. She has a teddy bear. Now that is a dude, right?
Yes, I guess.
This guy. Singing to the guy.
So I only got to 3 minutes of it, and then you started hearing.
There's a treble clef on his Lisa needs a slightly larger dress. <I know. laughs> Was there a tablecloth on the piano?
I don't know. I didn't get that far.